This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. In Western Canada, you can find AMI Audio on your television. Westman, channel 889, and Shaw Direct Advanced 200, channel 288 over there. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area. I'm Kelly McDonald, host of the program on your Tuesday, wherever you are. Welcome. Thanks for being with us. And Ramya Muthan's with me.
Yes, and today we're talking to our friend Danielle Jeankind, our veterinarian who joins us every Tuesday, and it's going to be a fact-filled segment, so let's bring her on.
The human-animal bond plays such an important role in people's lives, and as a veterinarian, it's my privilege to help keep those bonds strong and healthy. I'm Dr. Danielle Jeankind, and welcome to Ask a Veterinarian.
So every once in a while, our vet talks to us about some common misconceptions that people have about their pets and their pets' health by doing a Mythbusters segment. So it's time for another one of those, Danielle. And this time we're talking about or uncovering myths surrounding your vets and veterinary medicine. So this is going to be interesting.
I hope so.
I think so. Well, I'm curious to see which ones you've brought up as the myths, because, you know, it's going to have maybe a bit of a personal angle or bias.
Yes, Danielle has been awesome with her personal stuff with us. Very much those disclosures.
Yeah. I might be a little scared, if I'm being honest.
Yes.
I'm not really that scary, at least I hope
and,
not.
And it's not Halloween, Ramya.
Yeah, that's true. That's always a good thing.
So the first myth is actually just something I've noticed, that people believe that vets learn to professionally trim nails in vet school. Okay, and that's actually not true. It actually surprised me when I became a vet that so many people were reluctant to kind of cut their pets' nails because they're afraid they're going to do something wrong. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm going to tell you not to worry, because there is no course in vet school that teaches veterinarians how to trim nails in pets. And, you know, I recall that we learned in anatomy class that there were three bones in each toe on a dog or a cat, and that a nail grew from the end of the last bone in the toe. And, you know, we learned that the nails had living tissue in the middle of them and were covered by a hard, dead outer layer. Armed with only that information, we were released out into the world to trim many nails. So when I graduated from vet school, I was no more experienced at trimming nails than anyone else walking down the street. And everything I learned about the process was learned on the job through trial and error and from people who had more experience at it than me. So, you know, every time I run into a client who says to me, I can't trim the nails, and they have no logical reason really to say that. I know I really only have to give them just a little bit of confidence and just say, sure you can, you know, I had to learn, so can you, it's all good. So, you know, just a quick lesson and some nail anatomy and some training advice, you know, can go a long way to like bolstering that confidence. So
that have confidence. That reminds me of a conversation I had, Danielle. This person started to talk about, especially since they're a person of low vision, and they just got a puppy. I think his name, something like Gliz or Glizzy or something. And that person said something along the line, I'll check in with Danielle about how to get the nails trimmed and everything. She's a veterinarian, so she had to learn that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We did have to learn the hard way.
That's cool.
I love it.
I did hear, though, that over the summer, when with the new pandemic versions of going to the vet, you know, you're doing a lot of time waiting in your car and walking up to the door and seeing other people receive their pets from their visits, etc. So there's a lot of like overhearing of different things. And I remember one of the vet techs saying, we're going to have to put him under if you want us to do his nails because it's just too difficult. And I was like, oh, man, that must be a scary nail trimming situation at home.
Yeah. And there are some pets who, you know, that just for lack of training or, you know, bad experiences or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever reason, you know, that they are extremely difficult for sure. You know, not to downplay that, you know, but that actually isn't anything about trimming the nails. That's a behavioral issue, mm-hmm. you know, exactly. and for sure.
And, yeah. and that would be along the lines of a pet that doesn't like being bathed because they can't stand the water, whether it's a cat, dog, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, some pets are just more high anxiety than others. So, you know, that's just part of their temperament.
Okay. So, Danielle, what else do you have in your repertoire of this myth-busting mode we're in?
Well, myth number two, you know, my vet will always have what I need when I need it. And, you know, veterinary hospital managers and clinic owners, they do their absolute best to ensure that, you know, we have what you need for your pet in stock when you need it. But it's important to realize that, you know, every clinic keeps an inventory of commonly used medications and pet food, but there is no possible way they can keep absolutely everything on hand all of the time. You know, rarely used medications or highly specialized prescription diets might have to be ordered individually for your pet and may take a few days to come in. And the other problem is the supply chain. Most right. vet clinics order medications and other products from a veterinary distribution company, like a wholesaler. And if they don't have something your vet has requested, your vet will only receive a notice that the item is on back order. And that means it's temporarily unavailable. And, you know, that's been more of a problem during the pandemic. So a lot of pets have been waiting for things that we just can't get. And a lot of us have been having to recommend alternatives for things that are just unavailable. And, you know, the other thing maybe to consider is planning. And veterinary teams are working hard to meet everyone's needs, especially right now when things are really busy. And every time you call, for example, for, say, a prescription refill, you know, there's a vet that has to review that pet's file. They have to approve the refill. They have to pull the medication off the shelf. Somebody has to fill that prescription order, has to enter the information into the medical record, print a label, then count out the pills. They might have to be cut for you. They have to be packaged for pickup. And this whole entire process, you know, can take up to 15 minutes in some cases, depending on what's, you know, being requested. And that doesn't seem like a lot of time until you consider that the vet clinic is trying to take on this process with a steady stream of appointments, emergencies, yeah. and surgeries. And also there's probably other requests for refills as well. So just be aware that instant refills may not always be possible just because, you know, of like limitations in time and that. So, you know, the best way to ensure your pet never runs out of the stuff they need is to kind of plan ahead and just give your vet, you know, a little bit of lead time so they can get you what you need for when you need it.
Well, especially mm-hmm. a time when more people than ever have pets, especially since we've gone through the pandemic and people are looking for that new companion and so on. But I would submit that never in the history of vets has that ever been possible for one to have everything on hand at any given time, Danielle.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. And, you know, we, like I say, we do our best and, you know, and of course, you know, everybody forgets now and then and says, hey, you know, I meant to call last week. I swear to God, I got busy and I forgot. And, you know, we do our best, but, you know, sometimes people get angry with us and say, you know, why can't I pick it up like right now? Like,
right.
Well, we're doing yeah. our best. We really are, but, you know, just be understanding.
Okay. What's next?
Well, myth number three, you know, if my pet is sick, there is only one diagnosis. It's kind of amazing, actually, how often people assume this to be true, and that includes vets, actually. you know, if there's anything more frustrating for vets and clients than trying to sort out and treat a tangled web of multiple medical problems, I'm not really sure what that would be. Sometimes we have suspicions right off the hop that there is more than one problem. Other times we find something and treat it successfully, only to realize that there's more to it than only that. And, you know, a good example can be found with cats that don't always pee in the litter box. A lot of them have medical problems like crystals in the bladder or urinary tract infections. And so, you know, we find that, you know, when we check for urine samples and do some testing, and then, you know, we're going to treat that. But a percentage of those cats will also have a behavioral component that will remain a problem even after the medical issues are resolved. So, you know, to a client who's just successfully treated their cat for a medical problem and whose cat is still peeing outside the box, you know, that's enormously frustrating, you know? So I just urge people, you know what, call your vet and don't give up. You know, now that one problem has been eliminated, it might have unmasked another one. And, you know, that maybe needs to be dealt with as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine incredibly frustrating, but also I would imagine people get pretty scared too, because you think, well, hold on, we rectified this. What's going on? You know, and it could be, it's just, you know, well, I got used to doing this.
Well, yeah. And also just the frustration, you know, like, I mean, you know, you've done everything your vet asked you, you've gone in and you've done the testing and you've, you know, fought with the cat to give the pills for 2 weeks or whatever it is that you've done, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, so now what? I've done all of this. And
why is it still happening? Yes,
that's right. Why is it still happening? So, you know, definitely it can be something that's very frustrating for people and for vets, you know, when, I mean, I would love to be able to give, you know, the magic pill that fixes everything and, you know, and just be like, wow, that was so great. But that doesn't always happen. And so sometimes it's just a little bit of persistence to get to the bottom of what's left after you've dealt with the stuff that you know is there.
You'd be quite unpopular because you'd close all the other vets then. Well, you'd have to have a supply of those pills going around the world to cover things off. But what's next? What other myth do you want to get into?
Myth number four, my vet will remember all the details of my pet's medical history and what we talked about at previous appointments. So not true. Believe me, we do our best, you know, but with a fully booked schedule and emergencies coming in on top of that, your vet might actually see anywhere from 14 to 25 patients plus in just one day. And, you know, that's why we have to keep medical records. So, you know, don't be offended if your vet tells you they have to review your pet's file before they can discuss something with you, even if you've just been in. They really just want to give you the best advice possible, and they're going to rely on having all the current information accessible to them in order to do that. So, you know, it's actually kind of funny, actually being a vet, this is kind of a funny story. I remember one time I was traveling along the 401, and you know how they have those rest stations, the gas stations where you can pull off and there's restaurants and bathrooms and all the great things, you know, gas stations and stuff that you need. So I was walking down the hallway in one of those, and I was walking one way and this couple was walking the other way, and we stopped in the middle of causing a big traffic jam and just stared at each other because we recognized each other, but we couldn't place the other one. And, and in my brain, I was racking my brain going, where do I know these people from? But they didn't have a dog attached to them. And when, and when all of a sudden I went, you're Fluffy's owner. That's right. That's where we know you. You're dressed in normal human clothes. You're our vet.
It's like seeing your teacher on the street. Like, oh, no.
Oh.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, just the context of everything, you know, just jogs your memory. Yeah. And, you know, and it's actually kind of funny that these kinds of things happen, that I would need a pet attached to an owner in order to recognize the person. But sometimes it seems my brain works that way.
Yeah, it's funny how, though, people don't feel the same way. Oh, veterinarian Danielle. Hey, you know what? He's Fluffy's been doing this lately. Like, we're in the park. Go away.
No. Well, their difficulty in recognizing me was that I wasn't wearing scrubs. I was wearing normal human clothes, like jeans and a shirt. And they were like, wow, you look so different. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Danielle, we're going to have to, I feel like you had one more for us, but we're going to have to pause there because we run out of time. But this was really great. And again, really good context into what our vets and what vet practices are built with. Next week, we're going to be talking about microchipping our cats and dogs. So I'm sure people have tons of questions and are eager to learn more about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Take care.
You too.
Danielle Jeankind joining us every week for Ask a Veterinarian.
When we return, nutritionist Julia Karanchis will visit with us and we'll discuss what's put on the table. Literally is water. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.